Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Alcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, I have Maggie Tuttle from England, who is going to speak to you about child stealing, child slavery, and a world of other nightmares for children and families. So I am a tremendous fan of hers. I have listened to a speech she made at one of the conferences run by Andy Peacher, and I was just bowled over by how bad things are in England currently. So I'm going to now pick up Andy Peacher, who is going to be the pass-through to our guest, Maggie Tuttle. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me, Sally?
Yes, I hear you perfectly, Andy. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for a really excellent interview last week.
It was better, but the best is still to come, and I'm now adding Maggie.
Well, thank you.
I'll leave
Maggie,
you with Maggie, because Maggie's the voice of the children in the UK.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Maggie. Thank you very much for coming on the program. I just listened to your lecture again, and boy, so much information you have to impart to people. I just want to start by asking one question and then let you educate people, and you have so much information. But the question I have is this. I have read that dark children on the market get 18,000. While white children are bringing in 58,000. This is an astonishing thing to read, and yet I find that the countries that are being targeted are the UK, Canada, and now they're hot on the heels of the Irish children. So would you like to answer that question if you know, in fact, what the sale price of children is? And then we'll get into how this all comes to pass.
What we know here in the UK is that every single child that is adopted, the agency gets £36,000 per child. For the fostering, we can't get true figures, but it's approximately £2,000 a week per child if they're in foster care. But it's very difficult to get true figures. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that these children, let's take the two young brothers who were moved 144 times in foster care. That is not stability for any child. There's no stability for most children in care, and every time a child is moved around, the agency gets paid per child for moving them around, Sally. That's a lot of money.
144 times. That is unfathomable.
I know. But then the social workers and the court experts say, well, these children have to be moved because they didn't settle with the social worker, and these children have problems, and they make up all these sorts of stories, children, and all these children want to do, Sally, is to go home to mummy and daddy. Not all. There are children who need protection, but the majority of children want to go home. So, of course, they might be a little bit naughty. Anyway, I love naughty children, and if they're naughty, that's how they learn to be good, because you sit and talk to them. But not the care system. They move them around because it's money in the pocket.
Oh.
And it's not only money in the pocket, Sally. Every time they're moving children around, there's this expert giving a written assessment. There's another one doing this and another one doing that. And it's a whole army of people in one child's life.
And no doubt this creates a record for them so that they can further justify abusing them.
That's right. And, and a lot of children in care, they don't ever get to see their families again. Never.
Well, I asked you on so people could understand the genuine ramifications of what are happening to the children in Ireland. Now, I know in Canada they are targeting disabled children, quite often autistic children. Do you find this prevalent in England as well?
What they do here is, in another way, is they're labeling children with ADHD. And last year, I think it was last year, the scientist who made up that name of, oh, yes, children got ADHD, he died. And on his deathbed, he said, there is no such thing as ADHD. And thousands of children, in this country, are prescribed Ritalin. And Ritalin is registered at the American drug unit.
Medical association? Yeah.
Yeah, it's equal to cocaine and morphine. And that's what they're giving children. And when anybody, like I went on the streets of London in the early hours of the morning, filming and talking to the kids, drug addicts, most of these kids on the streets are from the care system. And they were given drugs in care. I've questioned over 200 homeless people, and they all say the same. We were told we were put into care because our families didn't want us. So then I asked them, did you ever have contact? No, because we were told our parents didn't want to speak to us or see us. They just put us away in care. And that was it. And they just live a terrible, terrible life. Sally, I've been working for 40 years with the people in the community. Back in the 80s, I set up many hostels here in England for homeless, alcoholic, drug addicts, all from the care system. So what's going wrong? Governments continually cover up. Now, look, there's been, I think it's 800 dead bodies of children being found in Ireland recently. Coming back to your question of children with disabilities and that, they're drugging. A lot of children in the care system are used for experiments on drugs. And as for taking children with learning disabilities, there's got to be a method in their madness for doing so. Perhaps it's to use them for experiments. Who knows, Sally, what they do once those children are in care, because they're not allowed to speak out. And I believe the same is in America and Canada as well, and Australia.
Well, my sister was in an institution, and we found out after she died at 23 that she had been used to experiment with vaccines. She was already mentally retarded, and they used these children to experiment with. And I didn't find this out till the man who head up the experiments, Dr. Hilary Koprowski, died. If he didn't die and the announcement came out of what he was given accolades and awards to do to these children, by the way, I would never know who killed my sister.
Well, we have Peter Kelby. Now, I'll go back a little bit. Just over 2 years ago, a young man who was in the care system in Scotland, he was abused as well, and he told me of hundreds and hundreds of dead bodies of children buried in Scotland, but he was too afraid to tell me exactly where. Come 2 years down the line, and we have a man who's quite a famous actor who was in care in Scotland. And his sister, all his family were in the care. His sister was murdered in care. And what happened, his mother, Peter's mother, became one of the first women to start speaking out against child abuse. She was found decapitated, and she is buried in this land in Scotland, and there's hundreds and hundreds of dead babies there. and he knows, he sent me the information where they are. Isn't that amazing? You see, when you run a helpline, Sally, here lies the truth. You see?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Well, there.
The
I
whole
know that
world
there have been.
Thinks.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Sally. Go on.
No, no. I want you to continue. Please do.
I was just going to say that the whole world has always thought that dear old Britain is, you know, oh, the children are safe there and it's a nice place to live and it's the most rotten, one of the rottenest places on earth. I mean, go back to 1546, I think it was. It was the Brits who started to sell the African people who started the slave trade. It goes back centuries. The lords and the ministers, they've all been at it for centuries. And here they are, they've been covering up and covering up. Now I hope that the people will come out. Because whenever there's a demonstration or something, you know, you might be lucky to get 30 people demonstrating for the children, the lost children. And yet I've always said, you'll bloody well come out with your guns and you'll march to war for what? A country that's stealing your children? Why aren't you marching for the children? It should be the same in America, Australia, Canada. Mr. Bernardo used to sell our children for £15 each to Canada and to Australia all them years ago, Sally. £15 each he got. And here he is, one of the biggest charities here in England, with £170 million turnover. What are they doing for our children? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, there are three issues in the news. One of them is the multitude of hundreds of Irish babies found in a large receptacle. Another one is the pedophilia in the Parliament. 40 members have been charged. And then there's the fact that these children, 80% of them, I have learned from Joe Burns, wind up in jail when they're as adults. The ones who go through the system wind up. So this is a lot to address, but these are three very important issues. The issue of experimentation on children, the issue of, how did you get involved in this, if you don't mind, if we could take a moment and find out how you became involved?
Well, first of all, Sally, I better say it was something very close to home. And if I speak out or say anything too much, I've been threatened with 7 years in prison because they gagged me. then when they found out who I was, they decided to put me down as an alcoholic and drug addict. So I'm an alcoholic and drug addict at the age of 71. Amazing, isn't it? Then they've accused me of being a control freak, and I am this and I am that. But it was something very close to home, and I had to experience it to come back out of retirement to do what I'm doing now, and that was just over 3 years ago. And after witnessing what I witnessed, that's why I registered Children Screaming to Be Heard. Because every child in care is screaming to be heard, Sally.
Yes, yes.
And okay, no one listens to them.
Yeah. Well, I would like, what happens when Child Protective Services, or whatever the equivalent of that is in England, appears at your door? How does that come to pass? Is there a report registered and someone is concerned and someone appears, or do they just appear?
Most times, 9 times out of 10, they just arrive. It can be at the school, it can be at the home, it can be in the hospital. The women are giving birth to babies, and the police and the social workers are stood there while a woman's giving birth, the baby's born, washed, and they take it away for adoption. That's what's happening here. There was recently an Italian lady, last year, an Italian lady, and she came over for an interview for a job, and the social services committed her to hospital and they cut her open, cesarean operation, and took the baby.
Okay.
That was an Italian lady. I mean, there's been the United, in the UN, there are a lot of concerns from a lot of ministers of what's happening here in the UK. And John Hemming,
but the UN is the one who has created the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which takes away rights of children and families.
Well, now it seems that they're getting a little concerned, because I think it was 36 ministers came over from the UN and had a meeting with John Hemming, the MP, in the House of Commons, I believe it was, with concerns of the children from from other countries in the UN who have come to England, and they're just being taken willy-nilly.
Well, I think they're the ones who are creating this problem, because every country that's signed on to the Convention on the Rights of the Child is having child stealing go down in their country. This is what Ireland is fighting right now through referendum. They're challenging the referendum, and because they want to hold on to their kids. So let us get back. So they show up, they take the child. What can you do? What can you do at that point?
Not a thing. Nothing whatsoever. There are no doors to open in this corrupt country for your child. The courts are closed, although Sir Mumby says that he wants the courts opened and he wants to stop the gagging orders. I personally, as nice as the old man is, I think it's just another front to keep all the people, all the sheep, quiet. Oh dear, Sir Mumby's trying his best for us. It's not going to happen, because look at all the lords and the MPs and the ministers, paedophiles, and it's been kept quiet for years. 30 years ago, Sally, I was told about Jimmy Savile and one other person, which I can't name, but the Scotland Yard said, we know Jimmy Savile is a big-time necrophiliac, and the other one loves choir boys, but nothing can happen until they're both dead, because they raise millions of pounds for the big charities. Well, one's dead, and we're waiting on the other one. So Scotland Yard, it's always been a cover-up for the paedophiles. And so you can't go, the family courts are closed, gagging orders. Now what they're doing, since Sir Mumby said about the gagging orders, what the social workers are doing now to the families, they're saying, stop your campaigning, get off of Facebook. If you don't, then you will not have contact with your children. So it's a blackmail again. And the other thing, Sally, I don't know if it's happening over your part of the world, but here the social workers are splitting up husbands and wives when they shouldn't do, because we're talking about very loving families, and yet they're being forced to live apart. It's awful.
I'm confused. They're forced to live apart. How do they affect this? I mean, in terms of the children, or just they take away the children and their parents are forced? Go ahead.
They say if you want to keep your children, you have to live apart. So that your husband and wife, desperate to keep their children, he'll go and find a room or go and live with a member of the family. And they still take the children. We've got one couple now, so in love, this couple. They've just had their first baby, and it was the baby is 6 weeks old now, and little Oliver. And what happened, the social workers took the baby from the hospital, and this couple are in the court to stop the adoption. And now what came out in the court this week, late last week, was because the father was in care and he was abused, he could well abuse his son. So, and also they've made this couple split up anyway. But the powers that the social workers have, Sally, in this country is no one can bring them to account. No one can at all. You can't. It's just impossible.
Well, what I am striving to do at this point in this country, and I don't know how it would to the UK or if the entire system is so corrupt that there is no way to do this, but what I'm trying to get done is to educate the judges about the fact that to ask the question when a child dies, was it recently vaccinated? Because all these parents are going to prison for shaken baby syndrome, and there is not one case of it in parents of an unvaccinated child. So I'm trying to effect the fact that judges must ask, was the child recently vaccinated, and to get his vaccine records. This is never brought up. However, what I'm thinking here is to say to judges, there is the catchphrase that you say comes down from the Nazis that the social worker can use to explain everything. What is that?
Well, there's no such thing as shaking baby syndrome, because Bill Batch, the lawyer over here, well-known lawyer, is a consultant lawyer now, he proved the point that there's no such thing as baby shaking syndrome. So you could always contact him, Sally, and ask him for that information.
Well, no, I'm actually wondering in terms of when the social worker gets up and says something that nobody can contest. Andrew had said at one point that a judge cannot question if he says this Nazi catchphrase for the child's best interest or for the child's, what is it?
I didn't get that.
I don't
know.
Yes, the phrase that they can use and never have to explain when taking away a child is it's in the child's best interest. What is the catchphrase that
in
cannot
a child's
be questioned?
Best interest. In a child's best interest.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But you know
well,
who coined that
judges,
study? You know,
we
know
have to demand that be qualified. That has to be qualified.
No, you can't. Sally, because of the research I do, we have many social workers, especially from Romania, Africa, and India, who are not qualified social workers. And yet they're coming here getting jobs. They get thousands of pounds reallocation money. They get support with the housing and opening a bank account. You know, Sally, anyone in these third world countries, for £5, let's say, can buy a qualification. I'm a social worker, but you've got to have somebody on the inside, which I know who it is, and they're getting the jobs for these so-called social workers. Now listen to this. These social workers are coming in from these third world countries, working as social workers, then over comes their friends who become foster carers or they're adopting children. Where in the world can you earn £500 a week tax-free and get many other benefits? So, of course, the social workers are getting jobs for all their friends and families to come over because they advertise, do you want a career in fostering? Since when is it a career, Sally, to bring a child?
Right.
It's not
right.
A career. It's love and affection and looking after. And that's how
now,
they advertise here in this. Sorry?
What are the different scenarios? What are the different scenarios of what can happen to a child once they're taken away? I read an article about slavery. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, that's all they are. They're slaves because they are not allowed to speak out. If they speak out, then they're moved to another foster carer and they never get to see their family again. And I know, again, I will say somebody close was being abused in the foster care, spoke out to his family, and the family didn't see him again for 9 months. And not at all. And then families have to sign a contract for contact. So in this contract, you can have, you must not do this, you can't that. It's like their commandments. They have their own commandments of the Bible for the contact, for the children. So children, we don't know exactly, but they could be cleaning the houses, they could be doing this or doing that. Nobody knows because no kid is allowed to speak out. And the only children we do hear from is children from, let's say, Bernardo's, who brings children forward. The hooky, crooked ones, you know, who show the odd children who are happy. We don't know about the other thousands.
How many children have been stolen? How many children have been stolen? Do you have an idea of the number of children who have been stolen?
Well, it's more like 100,000, but there's all different figures. There's no true figures, Sally, and again, this is what I'm saying. Nobody knows anything because, again, the system, in a child's best interest, there's no proper records kept. But I do know that you've got 49% of prisoners are from the care system. You've got thousands of kids from the care system are in detention centers. Then you've got thousands of kids on psychiatric units or from the care system. I speak regular to a little boy, he's 20 now, and he said, Maggie, when I was growing up in foster care, one day I was dressed as a boy and the next day as a girl. And then I was assaulted as a boy or a girl, and I don't know how I should dress. He's 20. That's what the system is doing to the children. And the system doesn't accept. As Kafka said to me, Maggie, all children in care tell lies, and none of them know what they want. That's your Kafka, the guardians of the children. And also there's a lawyer, I have information from a lawyer, that says any evidence, all evidence to a case is irrelevant. We are in family courts, not criminal courts. What does that tell you, Sally? Kids have got no chance. They're the silent witnesses. And that's what I say.
Right. Well, you had, sorry, I have short-term memory loss and I had a very important question. Just keep going. There's so much to be told here. I'm sure you'll mention it among the many things you will talk about.
Well, when a child is taken, whichever way, from the playground, the school, or wherever, then they are surrounded by an army, I say, of the court experts, doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and eventually they may get contact after some time with their families. And it's in a tiny room, and it's supervised with a supervisor sitting, writing everything down. That is their 1 hour in a contact. Maybe once a month. Some families only get to see their kids twice a year. I think Andy's one as well, Andy and Joe. Twice a year. You know, in the United Nations or in the information, they're supposed to be working to keep a family together. So what they're doing, no contact hardly with the family. Kids are sent miles away from home. There's no contact where the families don't know where the children are living or the schools they go to. They've got no control whatsoever, especially on all these vaccinations. I mean, these vaccinations are so, terrible, Sally. They're causing a lot of harm to the children.
My whole premise is a vaccine-free NYC. I'm running for office right now on the premise of vaccine-free NYC. I can't tell you how bad it has gotten here.
Well, I have met Andrew Wakefield. You know who blew the whistle on the vaccinations?
Yes, I've interviewed him twice.
Yeah, well, I've met Andrew, and what happened, there was a little boy I know, and his mother was going to let him have because it's a three-in-one, and this other person, the child was injected just three different times. Instead of the three-in-one, they were separate. That child still suffered with side effects, and Andrew said at the time, he said, well, tell the mother you know, to try if she insists that the child should have them separate, but the child still suffered, and that's how dangerous they are. They are very dangerous.
I have to tell you, Dr. Carley, who Andy Petra knows well, and you might as well, she says that it doesn't matter if they're separate or they're together. It is the measles virus within the vaccine that is causing the autism. So this is where I, quite frankly, have challenged people to a debate with Dr. Carley, another fellow who's saying it's dimerosal, and nobody is debating Dr. Carley. But the fact of the matter is there have been documents unearthed by Christina England, a very well-known journalist in this realm and in the shaken baby syndrome realm, that verifies what Dr. Carley says. However, you had mentioned something about how as a prisoner you have so many more rights than you would as a forced adoption or foster care child, institutionalized or whatever, that these children have absolutely no rights compared to prisoners who've actually committed a crime.
That's right. When a man goes to prison, he can use the telephone every day. He has contact. I think it's once a week or whenever. They can hug and say as they want to say. Although you have police officers around the big room, you can still speak freely. But when you're having a contact with a child, you cannot speak freely. A child cannot telephone you. They cannot go onto a computer. They are a complete prisoner. Completely. There's no rights. Nothing. They've got nothing. And people don't realize. They have no idea what's going on.
Is Andy still on the phone, Maggie?
I think so. Are you still there, Andy?
I'm always on the phone, my dear.
Right, okay, he's there, Sally.
He just sent me three messages, and why don't you take this moment, Andy, if you will, to make the announcements about the 24th and the 25th, and then I'll continue with Maggie. Would you do that now?
Certainly, on the 24th of July, 10 a.m. at the South Mim service station, we are going to do a rolling roadblock in one lane. We've had words with the police that the blockade totally wouldn't be legal and it wouldn't be sort of right. So we're doing a compromise and we will still disrupt the motorway. The people joining the motorway will be disrupted. So we've got halfway there. In the evening, due to Westminster covering up the paedophiles within government, we're doing a vigil at Soho Square at 3 p.m. till about 7 p.m. We will be leafleting certain establishments that will be shocked to know what goes on within their clubs and their managers. So that'll be good. The event of the year for Children Screaming to be heard, because 24th is for the mums and dads and the protesters, but the charity's main event is the actual conference, and that's being held at the Resource for London Centre, Holloway Road, North 7. Be there for 9, starts at 10, and we've got barristers, various eminent speakers, an art exhibition as well, which depicts children screaming to be heard and the forced adoptions.
Well, Maggie,
I mean, I will introduce people, but I think everybody knows me on the things I write, so they don't want to hear me. They want to hear the other people. But what I'm interested in, Sally, is, and this is going to be the world's, it's going to be the first time that the world's going to see this art exhibition by Albina. I can't say her last name, but it's Albina. And her arts are absolutely amazing. You can see some of them on the website. But every painting depicts.
I saw the green one, the poster for the event. It's very compelling artwork on the poster.
No, it's not on the poster, is it, Andy? It's a different one.
It's on the event page, yeah.
Right. It's of a child with her hands out with a it's all got a face mask and everything. It's amazing, her pictures. I'll send you some.
I've seen the one you refer to on the poster for the event. Maybe it's for Facebook, but it is very compelling. It certainly says the story and the look in the eyes, and it's very important. The photograph of the child who is a skeleton on the bed that Andy just sent me in regard to slavery and child stealing, that is a photograph.
No, the other one of Albina, that's not Albina's one. Andy, if you can send Sally the one that's on Tim's book. But Albina's paintings go back to all the, you know, all the satanical stuff and everything, and the murder of the children and the drinking of their blood and things like that. Do you know all about this satanical stuff, do you, Sally? What's been going on with the children for years?
It's happening here in America.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I don't know if you picked up on it. It's on the website. But a few weeks ago, children's blood is now being sold to the elite and the wealthy because scientists say it will help them with any diseases and help to keep them young. And so children's blood is being sold. What a nice way for the elite to bring out the satanical blood of the children for them to drink. How evil is that? They've twisted it. They've twisted it, Sally. So now it's legal to buy the blood of the children and drink it. That is disgusting, isn't it?
I'm rendered speechless,
it's on the
Maggie.
Website.
I know. I'm just rendered speechless by the, it's just unbelievable. Let us get back to the Parliament. Your body that is supposed to be legislating things to help the public, and what are they really doing? With all these charges against all these people, you really have to wonder. I actually thought at the time when I saw 40 members of Parliament, I thought, are they blackmailed into participating? Would anyone actually willingly participate in this? Or being so many, are they blackmailed into it?
No, I think a lot of it starts with they go to public school, and there's a lot of homosexuality. So there's a lot goes on, and especially when a new kid arrives to the boarding schools or whatever. I would like to see the end of boarding schools. I would like to see day schools brought back in, not boarding schools, because I think a lot of it starts there. But then somebody asked me today, would you think, Maggie, that all these paedophiles, they've got a mental problem? Yes. They've got to have. How can men sexually abuse a six-month-old baby or even younger? How can anyone do that, Sally? They've got to be sick in the mind.
Well, I have to tell you, there was something I saw that I definitely will post in the comment area underneath this interview. It was an interview with a Rothschild's child. And to know what they do to their own in order to split their personality into one who is callous and so that they can live. It involves pedophilia against them as well. And this is the most disturbing, and I actually felt sorry for them for the first time in my life. I couldn't imagine feeling sorry for people who cause so much woe in the world. I will send you this interview. It is absolutely a eye-opening.
I'll put it on the website, if I may.
Yep. It's not mine. It's Kerry Cassidy did the interview, but it is very illuminating. Indeed, it is.
Are we allowed to use it, Shelley?
I'll send it to you. You can, I don't know, but I'll send it to you, and you can follow up with the woman who conducted the interview. I know that she basically said, I'm risking my life to say this. And but it's out right there on YouTube, so it's accessible.
All right. Well, Andy will sort it out, then. Andy will get it up on the website. Because Andy works relentlessly. I do the writing, and Andy gets it all out there. So between us, we are a good team, although we do shout and scream at each other sometimes. But we are a good team, so he'll deal with it. So, yeah.
Well, they have managed to silence not just the children, but the parents and the families with these gag orders. Must be the most consummately frustrating thing, because this is what they do, you know, with the whole shaken baby syndrome. They separate the parents, and then if one parent goes to jail, the other parent can't say anything. And, you know, there's always all this secrecy around all these demonic acts.
But, you know, the Kinsey Institute... From 1947, the Kinsey Institute was funded by the Rockefeller Institute, and it was the Kinsey Institute who wanted. They were saying that children are born with sexual feelings, and therefore the laws for adults to have sex with young children, babies, should be okay. And if you was to read, I don't know if you read that report, Sally. But
no,
if you
I
go
haven't.
To
no.
the Kinsey, whoa, it's shocking. If you go to the Kinsey Institute by the Rockefellers, funded by the Rockefellers, then you move on to the 50s and the 60s for the Paedophile Information Exchange here in the UK. They wanted the sex brought down to the age of 3, 4, or 5. So now you move on from the 50s, 60s to the 80s when... After such bad publicity, the paedophile exchange wing was put on the back burner. So although per paedophile information exchange had been funded by the government here as well for the law to be changed, however, such bad publicity, it was put on the back burner. And this is how the British government works. If there's a law that can't be passed because of pressure on the back burner, then it comes out. Down the line, and in 2010, I think it was, out we come with the grooming of the children in the schools under the Sex Education Act. And so all kids are being taught now sex education in the schools. That is all to do with PI. There's all to do with the Kinsey Report. Because when you research, Shelley, you join the dots, and out it comes. Here's the truth. So the paedophile ring... came in now under the disguise of the Sex Education Act. They are teaching children in the English schools to masturbate and to use condoms with carrots. And they're showing them explicit videos of terrible... It's all on the webpage if anybody wants to look. It's under the Kinsey Institute. It's all there. Everything's there. And I think my writings and where Andy sends them around the world is just being picked up now because people are beginning to put two and two together. You see? So it's good.
What's happening here in America is that they are giving the children truly lewd and lascivious things to read. And one of the parents at a education meeting started to read what it is the children who were very young were given to read. It was appalling. Then I find out from my friend in England, Christina, that they are now here in America part of the Common Core program also, which is funded by Bill Gates. This, who of course we know is trying to depopulate the world through vaccination and Monsanto and all the rest of it, but now they're having children, they have babies, they have their head light up when you shake it. So they're showing children in school how to shake a baby for shaken baby syndrome. They're trying to acclimate them because they have raised the number of vaccines to such an obscene level. All these children will die, and now they're showing kids in school how to shake